Our reading from Exodus picks up this morning after Moses had gone up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God. Before he started his climb up the mountain, Moses had instructed the Israelite elders to consult his brother Aaron should any problems arise in his absence. As the days went by at the base of the mountain with no sign of Moses, the Israelites began to feel uneasy. And still with no sign of their leader, the people's anxiety really started to spiral, and they proposed to Aaron that they all create something to worship. So everyone chipped in, and they handed over their rings of gold to Aaron, who melted them down to create the new object of their devotion. So they ate and they drank, and they attributed their own rescue from Egypt to this golden calf, a statue. Considering how quickly the Israelites collectively violated the first and second of God's commandments in Moses' absence, it's fair to say that a three-year-old could have done better. Why they chose a calf, we do not know. Would not have been my first choice, but to each their own. The point is, they chose a grass-eating animal with minimal intelligence over the God who delivered them from the land of Egypt. It's easy to come down hard on the Israelites, who just couldn't control themselves, who built that golden calf with their simplistic idolatry, with their impulse toward ritual and shiny things. But to put ourselves in their shoes for just a minute, sure, it's just a statue, but at least they can see and touch the object of their devotion. And where was God anyway? Throughout their time in the desert, the Israelites had been asked to believe in a God whom they couldn't see or touch. Yahweh appeared in ambiguity, coming to them as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Moses was the hidden link who connected them to God, and Moses was gone, nowhere to be seen, up on the top of a mountain somewhere. And the people needed something close by to which they could devote themselves. It's true that a three-year-old could have been more patient and obedient than the Israelites. And children also possess a certain virtue of unfiltered honesty, saying things with bluntness that adults tend to internalize, sometimes with guilt and anxiety. For example, a small child at the base of the mountain, there with the Israelites, would have likely looked at that calf and declared, "This calf is shiny and it's gold. And I love things that are shiny and gold." Now contrast this with the Israelites, who made a big deal out of pretending like that calf was God, bowing down to worship it and declaring that it had rescued them from the land of Egypt, instead of just calling the thing for what it was, a gold, beautiful statue. Maybe that would have helped them name their anxiety for what it was, too. Just like the Israelites at the base of the mountain, we need something or someone nearby to see, to feel, to which we can devote ourselves. God can be way off in the distance sometimes, difficult to grasp, residing in the faith of our godparents or our grandparents, or in a preacher who seems to live on a mountaintop. So we need something or someone just to bring it all home. So how does God feel about things that are shiny and gold, a child might ask. The golden calf addressed this problem for the Israelites, even if it was only a temporary fix, and even if that calf caused God's wrath to burn against them. Even that calf, made of gold, melted from their jewelry that they had gotten from the Egyptians, even that calf was not beyond redemption. Just a couple of chapters later, the people are given specific instructions to build the tabernacle, a place of devotion that would contain the Ten Commandments. This tabernacle was the place for people to catch a glimpse of how God dwelled in their lives. Building that tabernacle, they used about 2,000 pounds of gold this time. It was an act of devotion to Yahweh. The tabernacle remained a place where people could go and be reminded of the God who rescued them from Egypt. That same precious metal they used for idolatry was repurposed into an element of worship. So no, the gold and jewels were not inherently bad. The Israelites just made some bad choices with them. But they also made good choices. So just like the repurposed gold used as an act of devotion to the one true God, the Israelites, they too were also redeemed. God didn't give up on them. And God doesn't give up on us in our own anxieties and blindnesses as we look for something real and true to devote ourselves to. In Exodus 35, Moses is giving the instructions to all the Israelites about how to build that tabernacle. He said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Let whoever is of a generous heart bring the Lord's offering, gold, silver, and bronze, purple, blue, and crimson yarns, and fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx, stones, and gems, all to be set in this glorious tabernacle." It was the whole congregation who built that tabernacle with all these different gifts, not just the extra religious people who seemed like they had it all together, who were extra devoted. It was the whole congregation. Now, I can't think of anyone here in Cary who has goat's hair or tanned ram skins to share, but we do all have something to share. And I do know that this church, this sanctuary, this faith family is real and true, and it's a reminder that we have a God who rescues and loves and forgives. Church is an object of devotion that reminds us that we have a God who dwells not just in this sanctuary or up in the chapel, but in our lives. Thanks be to God.